I'm Logan Crawford, and right now on Spotlight, we're exploring an important book. It is called Cannabis for Seniors. This enlightening book was written by Beverly A. Potter, PhD. This groundbreaking work delves into how cannabis can enhance the quality of life for seniors, addressing both the medical and social aspects of its use. We're delighted to have this very talented author join us here today on Spotlight. We thank the folks at Booksavi International for helping us put her in the spotlight today. And we ask viewers like you to support writers like her by subscribing to our channel and by purchasing her wonderful book. The links are below this interview. Doctor, so good to see you here today on Spotlight.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be here.
This is such an interesting premise, the idea of seniors using cannabis for a multitude of reasons. And what would you say, like, the top three reasons are people should start exploring the possibility?
One of them is, what's the alternative? Because seniors have a lot of aches and pains. Mm-hmm. And what do doctors have to offer? Narcotics.
Right.
So seniors are being doped up like crazy. I mean, it's very common for a senior to be taking 6, 7, 8 different types of heavy pharmaceutical pills mm-hmm. every day. Okay, so this is where cannabis comes in, because it's not addictive. It's not dangerous like opioids. Nobody has ever died from cannabis.
Right. You can't OD on cannabis. You'll fall asleep first, right?
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, you could have a bad experience, and we can get into that of how mm-hmm. to avoid that. But cannabis is, it's not a heavy pharmaceutical. It's not addictive. The part of the problem is that when they set up, the feds set up the drug laws, they made cannabis or marijuana a Schedule I drug and put it in the same category as opium and heroin and cocaine, which can be very damaging. And that helped to stop research.
Mm.
But it's starting up again. Cannabis has a natural healing impact on the body. Mm. You know, I wrote down a few things. If cannabis promotes optimism, often seniors get isolated and depressed. And cannabis is kind of thinking, a detachment where you can pull yourself away from the pain or the ailment.
Mm.
And reduces stress. Plus, it's a great pain reducer and reducing inflammation, which leads to pain.
Do you think it's a good idea before starting cannabis to talk to your doctor to see if there's interactions with some of the meds that you might be already on?
I mean, one should always include one's doctor. The problem is that the doctors have very little training in cannabis and are often not knowledgeable. That's part of the dilemma.
Yeah.
Following a doctor. In fact, I gave a talk a few years ago at the Institute for Aging from UCSF, and it was on cannabis for seniors, and there was one MD in about 100 in the audience, and he just kept trying to shut me down.
Amazing.
You know, I'm just not going to be able to make the, you know, he just kept arguing and disrupting. It was very interesting.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. A big pharmaceutical in this case isn't making the cannabis, so that might be why they're arguing against it, because we know doctors get enriched by pharmaceutical companies, that's for sure. Also, there's a social aspect. There's a social aspect to cannabis use as well, which is good for seniors. Some of them can't drink because they're on medication, so they can enjoy, you know, the THC from the cannabis, right?
Well, it promotes conviviality, friendliness, laughing, you know, the healing laugh type of thing. And what people don't actually know even about THC is that you have THC-A, which is called THC acid. It still has the healing qualities, but it's not psychoactive. In order for THC to become psychoactive, it has to be heated.
Mm.
That's how we got the joint.
Gotcha.
Heating your THC, then it converts into the psychoactive component. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with enlivening your mind anyway.
Sure.
It's just a different feeling, and seniors in particular don't necessarily, you know, feel good with that.
Right.
So one of the things that I call them senior boomers. I'm a senior boomer, okay? Is having to learn how to use the cannabis. Because we just have the picture of the stoner. But there's other ways of using it. For example, tinctures. And you can make your own tinctures. If you put the, like, when you buy the flower in the dispensary, at the end, there's always this residue of these little bits of, you know, stems.
Beans and stems and things
and
like that.
And you put that in oil or in alcohol, like vodka, and let it sit there a couple of weeks, and you've got a medication that you created yourself. I call it being an inner shaman. And so these things you can use, like the tinctures in the oil, you can rub them into your skin. That's the biggest delivery system in your body, and actually get rid of pain by just rubbing it into your skin. But there's no getting high aspect.
Gotcha. And see, also, it can be very good for your eyes, right? I mean, a lot of people with glaucoma are often prescribed cannabis, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know particularly about that disorder, but yes, it's being, and oh, here's the other thing that's so interesting, is that CBD and cannabis just has so many, I don't know if you can see this picture here, so many chemicals, I don't know if you can see this
yes.
thing with all this little stuff? This is the flower.
Right.
Okay, and these things are called tryptonites, and they're loaded with chemicals in there, okay? Mm-hmm. And so anyway, seniors have to learn how to use this, because we get these chemicals into the tinctures, and then we can rub them into our skin, or we can ingest them and learn how to interact with our own body and our health by using this emerging. So one of the things is, some of these chemicals, and there's hundreds of them, is they have neuroprotective qualities. They protect the neurons in the brain. We have an idea that you become a stupid stoner. In fact, it protects the neurons in your brain, and they even have neuroregenerative properties, saving and renewing these neurons. So cannabis, I have a list here somewhere. Cannabis is good for Parkinson's, these disorders that have to do with brain cells, ALS, Alzheimer's, dementia, multiple sclerosis. I mean, this is just developing how it's being used because of the lack of research.
Yeah, it's a shame that research into cannabis was shut down by being classified as a dangerous drug. Certainly people have gotten enlightened now. Most states, it seems, have it available for medical use or recreational use or both. So we're making steps in the right direction. I know for sleep, I know a sleep doctor who uses it himself. He takes a gummy at night to go to sleep. So there are great uses for it.
Much better than a regular pharmaceutical sleeping pill that develops dependency and has, narcotic impact.
Exactly. What sparked your interest in cannabis that you became basically a pioneer in, pushing for its use more widespread?
It's a long story. Way back in the 80s, I hooked up with this man who had a publishing house, Andor Press, which he launched with psychedelic books. And this was like really pioneer. Actually, it was in the late 70s, the early 80s. And he helped launch all of Bay Area publishing. And see the hazards of this. I mean, one time the FBI came to our door. How many times did the FBI come to your door? I don't want this. And I laid down the law. It's like, you can either have the books or you can have the plants.
Right.
But you cannot have the books and the plants. So which do you want, books or plants?
Right.
Well, he went for books, okay? So that, and meanwhile, I was being a corporate trainer. I'm a corporate psychologist in Silicon Valley. I actually helped launch management training and this sort of stuff. And so I went to Martha's Vineyards and ranches doing training, and I helped set up the master's program at Stanford. And one of my students went to De Anza College and became the head of short courses, which is where all the corporations sent their managers to get trained in these day-long sanity classes. So I started perfecting, developing training, how to do goals, how to mediate conflicts. And then I progressed to, I would take my tape recorder and I'd set it on the desk in the first row and I go, tape this class, here's the cassettes. And then I converted them into books. See, so anyway, I managed to somehow walk this fine line where I could go in and have like a defense contract and then come home to my dearly departed and his notebooks. Mm. That's a very interesting line. And so I learned more and more about, you know, these. Plus, I had a friendly attitude towards, you know, cannabis.
Marijuana, yeah.
And LSD, Timothy. I met Timothy Leary. Mm. I have a photograph of
him. And LSD is something where the science behind LSD and the medicinal use of it has been curtailed because of its classification as a dangerous drug.
Exactly. Impeding the research and sort of withholding it from us. And yet it's so much more benign and puts control in the hands of the person rather than, you know, these mysterious pills that we get from doctors. So
you make a distinction between cannabis and marijuana?
Not really. They're the same thing, but there is the hemp.
Right.
And cannabis. And the hemp is defined as having less than 3% THC. Mm-hmm. In fact, I wrote a book, Cannabis for Canines. Yeah. And people are giving their dog the, you know, pot. The dog's walking around and they think the dog is happy. No, the dog is toxic to dogs.
You've got to really
the cannabis or the marijuana from the hemp. They have the low THC, not from, you know, and then you have all these growers who are amping the THC content in the plants.
Yeah.
You know,
it seems like it's a little more controlled now that it's sold through dispensaries. There's not going to be huge spikes of THC. People know what type of marijuana or cannabis they're getting, what the effects might be.
They're more and more knowledgeable. It's not clear to, it's very complicated. And who knows about these products? In fact, there is, if somebody wants to have a reliable source of a doctor and products, mm-hmm. there's a website, healer.com, healer.com, healer.com. Mm-hmm. And the man, it's his site, Dr. Dustin Sukla, mm-hmm. runs that. And you can actually get an appointment with him. He's in Maine somewhere. And he develops all of these tinctures and oils and things. So these you can feel are reliable in, you know, the percentages of THC and CBD and whatever's in these things. I mean, who knows really what you're getting in a dispensary, even though it's a dispensary.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So let's say a senior's watching, they're curious about getting started. What would you say would be a good first step?
Well, it's first step is going to a dispensary, because they call these people bud tenders who are behind the counter. They're bud tenders. Yeah. You can ask them questions like, well, which this or which that, or, you know, get a cookies or going to this Dr. Sulak, healer.com, because he has a lot of lectures and stuff that you can listen to. Okay. And so learning, because seniors have to learn how to use it. It can be smoked and it gets held fast into the bloodstream. It can be rubbed on or it can be eaten, edibles. Now the edibles are the most precarious. And the reason is that even people who've had experience, you know, take a few tokes and in 10 minutes you're noticing an impact. Mm-hmm. Not so with edibles. The edible has to go all the way through the digestive system and get down into the intestine, you know, past the stomach. You can't even pump it then before it gets into the bloodstream. So there was a famous 911 call, and the man's calling 911. He says, call an ambulance, call an ambulance. We're dying, call an ambulance. And the dispatch is trained to probe and find out, and is probing to find out, well, what's your problem? He says, well, I'm a cop. And I got the perk, and basically he took the pot from the perk and brought it home, and he and his wife made the brownies. Mm-hmm. And then they ate them all.
Wow.
Why? Because you eat one, and they should have started with a half of one brownie.
Right.
But they eat a plate. This is very characteristic, and then there's nothing you can do. You
wow.
can't have your stomach pumped. Okay. And it takes like 2 hours to get an effect. So you're going, well,
this isn't working. Let me have another. Yeah.
And then what happens is when it gets down in your gut, if you think you're dying,
right,
you know you're dying because it's these terrible gut spasms that are extremely painful and nobody can stop it. And it goes on for like 4 to 6 hours.
Awful.
And, you know, a lot of people have done that. I did it to myself once with some butter I had made. You can make canna butter by melting butter and putting that and then straining it. And I, whatever, stupidly. And I knew I was dying. So edibles have to be very, very cautious because it takes so long. You can buy in dispensaries cookies. But it's smart to start with half a cookie. And cookies are good for sleep. You know, eat a cookie and then go to bed. But one, not a dishful.
Right, exactly.
So that's the edibles. But then there's the lotions and whatnot. And one time, a number of years ago, I had this terrible toothache. My whole mouth gum was so awful. And I got a tincture of cannabis. I put in a Q-tip and I rubbed it on my gum. And the pain went away instantly.
Wow.
I still lost two teeth. It didn't take away the abs or whatever the problem
was. Right, the abscess or the underlying problem.
Took the pain. Well, taking that pain away was a big step.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And then they're smoking it, and then they're developing suppositories. You know, so which is, one has to experiment with themselves. Become like a shaman, creating these potions. I mean, you can create teas and all kinds of things. And it's not just using the cannabis. You know, maybe then you sit in your hot tub.
Right.
Guess what I have in my living room?
What? Hot tub?
A hot tub. I'm not sitting out in the yard in Oakland, California, naked in my hot tub. You know, right. I've got it. Everything I've got trained as a tax preparer, so anything with health, since you know I had a bad back,
right?
My hot tub I can write off. So then I got a generator, you know, that comes on, and so I one third for personal, one third I got to have a generator and power goes off. I got electricity to run everything and my hot tub. So I'm parsing all these tax deductions.
That's great. That's great.
But you know, when the power goes off, I got power here.
Awesome.
I'm sitting in my hot tub drinking a beer, and all Oakland's dark.
That sounds great. Sounds great.
That makes me feel powerful. And,
yeah, you know, absolutely, absolutely. Tell me about CBD and what's the difference between that and the other products, because you see that for sale a lot in health food stores that are in ointments and so forth and lotions.
Well, this is all what we're learning. CBD is a cannabinoid. And marijuana or cannabis has, I don't know, well over 100. They don't even know how many CBDs. THC is a cannabinoid. It just has a different name that I can't pronounce because it's this long.
Right. And,
so the CBD actually, in some ways, keeps the THC less psychoactive and freaky. So often you buy a tincture and it has a ratio 1-to-1 would be one part CBD, one part THC, or 5-to-1, 5 CBDs to 1 THC. And it's the way that I don't know who's come up with this stuff, but the way it's evolved to create these potions that we use. And you can create your, and the thing is, when you make your own tinctures, I mean, you don't have a chemistry lab here to make sure that it's consistent each time. It's very much more magical.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Question, you wrote the book Cannabis for Seniors. It sounds like you'd advocate for most adults to explore the possibility that it might be a good fit for them, you know, physically, mentally, and so socially and so forth.
Well, yes, because what's the alternative? Let's say you have pain. And with aging, and I mean, a lot of people have pain. They, you know, vets have lost their legs, or, you know, pain becomes increasingly just a reality we put up with. Well, what do we have if we don't have something like cannabis? We have narcotics. Oh, and here's another thing. The like opioids have an opioid receptor site. Cannabinoids have cannabinoid receptor sites. And the metaphor is like a lock. That's the receptor site. And the chemical is the key. And it goes in and does something. Okay. So opioid receptor sites are located in the brainstem. It controls breathing. So when you OD on opioids, you stop breathing.
Gotcha.
That's the death problem, okay? Besides the addiction problem. Cannabinoids, there are no cannabinoid receptor sites in the part of our brain that controls breathing. But we have a system in our body called the endocannabinoid system. Isn't that a curious name to have?
It is.
System has the word cannabinoid in it?
Yeah.
That's because it's so compatible with the,
right.
The first recorded use of cannabis was in 2737 BC.
Amazing. Amazing.
China. Can you believe that?
Right. And then you had people like, you know, Bill Clinton saying they tried it, but never inhaled. I mean, so it's disparaged, and people have been arrested, unfortunately, for decades for something that seems natural, that seems healthy, that seems beneficial. So that's a real shame.
Right. Well, that's all part of the problem of, you know, the politics and the lack of knowledge and lack of research. But see, anything that has to do with seniors. Seniors control 70% of the nation's wealth.
Right.
Anything that has to do with senior boomers, which is the word that I like, leads to profit for the next 10, say even 20 years, because there's so many seniors. Who do you see on TV who has all the money?
Exactly.
Seniors that are at the, you know, controls doing everything. And it's way better than these downsides of these medicines and
absolutely.
Drugs that's all doctors have to give us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a great idea to read this book, find out more about cannabis, its many, many different uses, its many, many different forms, and how it can benefit you. The name of the book is Cannabis for Seniors. It's written by Beverly A. Potter, PhD. It's such a fascinating exploration into the world of cannabis and how it can enhance the quality of life for seniors, both medically and socially. And of course, just as Dr. Potter told you, check with your doctor first to make sure it's a good fit for you and there's no interaction with whatever other drugs you might be taking. However, find a doctor who's familiar with cannabis use, because he or she will be able to guide you better than someone who only deals with pharmaceuticals.
Well, and I want to say again, this doctor that you can get online, because there isn't, you know, a doctor necessarily in every town.
Exactly. So healer.com was the website.
Right. And there's all of this resources to study, and you can get appointments with them somehow. There's also a nurse practitioner in Walnut Creek, California, who specializes in getting seniors off of pharmaceuticals. And her name is Eloise, I don't know how to pronounce the last name, Thiessen, Theisen.
Okay.
Eloise Thiessen. And she has radical health care and uses basically cannabis in her helping to get people off of the pharmaceutical addictive drugs.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Beverly, and your hard work on this book. We appreciate you. Love having you on the show.
People can visit my site.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's Doc Potter, D-O-C, not D-R. Like, what's up, Doc? Doc Potter. Like Harry Potter.
Yep.
So it's docpotter.com.
Okay. DocPotter.
And there's all kinds of information and stuff there about the books I've written and information about them.
Wonderful. We'll put a link below this interview
as well. Thank you very much. This has been lots of fun.
Same here. I enjoyed having you. To the folks at home, I'm Logan Crawford, thanking you for your time this time. Until next time on Spotlight.